This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson here with Tim Marks on the board, Gracie on the phone lines, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise. A very happy Friday to you. Hope you have some great plans this weekend to honor your mama. And we're talking about what is it like to be married to me? Boy, that's a dangerous question, isn't it? We're going to unpack that with our friend Linda Dillo. She's been here before. But Tim, I got to ask, if I call Judy on the phone right now, which I'm so tempted, one of these days I want to do one of these on-the-spot calls, you know. Grace, I'm going to get you that number later. You can just call Judy right up. What would she say is like, what's it like to be married to you?
I don't know what she would say. I really don't. I think that she would say that I'm easygoing, but sometimes that's a problem because I don't... You know, I don't always assert myself and say, well, yeah, I want to do this or, right. You know, whatever. But, yeah.
And that is you. That's very precious about you. But it isn't always the way it is. You know, the thing that's our virtue, the thing that maybe draws them to us is the thing that irritates them like to no end. So I asked Kev this morning during our prayer time, and he got this little grin on his face. He said, I'm not going to answer that right now, but I will call the show later today. What it's like to be married.
You got that, Grace? Be careful.
Yeah, that's right. Screen it. His name's Kevin. All right. So I asked the question on Facebook. What do you think your spouse would say if you asked the question, what's it like to be married to me? Listen to these, Tim. Kathy says, honestly, high maintenance. But I love taking care of her. That's beautiful. A lot of chaos and stress, but it's not all that bad, Lisa says. Candace says her husband would say, is this a trick question? I love that. Jamie says, no comment. Christy says, a challenge. Lori says, I'm going to ask him. And Linda says, do you really want to know? I'm not sure I want to know. Guess I'll ask him on a good day. So those are some good ones. And a few others were, he says, he can't imagine his life without me. That's Kathy. Beautiful. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Just, you know, oftentimes, you know, the guys do get the rap. And this is for men, too. And hopefully we can all learn from this. But they sort of get the bum rap where I want you to change. I want you to step up. And men do, in many ways, need to step up in our day. But this, Linda really turns the table. And really says, okay, let's just look at this from another angle. What's it like to be married to me? Because we as women, I don't know if you know this, Tim, but we can be a little demanding at times. No comment.
No
don't even
comment.
Say it. Don't even say it. really quick before I get Linda, I want to tell you, if you have no plans tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, I'll be speaking at Wooddale Church's Women's Spring Brunch. And then Sunday, if you're in the Twin Cities, North Heights Lutheran Church, I'll be giving the message, both services, 9 and 11 at North Heights. And I'd love to see you there. And real quick, too, IJM, International Justice Mission. I love this organization, rescues young girls from trafficking and whole communities from slavery. We are celebrating their work on Tuesday night, and you're going to see an end of slavery reel. You're going to hear some music. You're going to be inspired, and it's free, but you got to come by invite. So if you're interested to come on Tuesday night, we would love to see you. Go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist, and on the events page there, on my page, you can register, and when they ask you who invited you, just put my name in. I'd love to just bring you in as my guest. So that's facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. All right, let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Linda and her husband, Jody, been missionaries on three continents. They've been married 46 years. They have 4 children, 10 grandchildren from age 13 to 1. They spent 14 years living in Vienna on the edge of Eastern Europe. Boy, she's had a lot of experience. Linda's the author of several books, including Calm My Anxious Heart, Intimacy Ignited, and A Deeper Kind of Calm. And she's said she's had the joy of partnering with the Holy Spirit for this recent book to write, What's It Like to Be Married to Me? And I know she feels this is really one of her more important books. If you want to learn more about her, you can find her on the web at lindadillo.org. Linda, welcome back to the show. So glad to have you with us again today.
I'm just so happy to be with you, Susie.
Well, you know this. You've been on the show before. We like to start out by talking about Scripture, and you chose a great passage, Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Talk to us about that passage.
I was just looking at it in my Bible, Susie, and I thought, oh, why did I only give verses 31 and 32 because the whole passage is so incredible. And in verse 29, it talks about how we really need to be careful about what comes out of our mouth, and that we're supposed to speak encouraging words and not, it uses the word unwholesome words in my Bible, but what it means in the Greek, Susie, is dirty, rotten garbage.
Wow.
That's not what is to come out of our mouth. And then in verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, it goes into how we need to get rid of all of the sin in our life and really become tender-hearted and kind and forgive one another. But, Susie, as I look at this verse about the Holy Spirit that is just right between one about our mouth and the words we use, and then about our spirit, and if we're kind, are we forgiving? I think these are the things that the Lord is saying, grieve the Holy Spirit. So the scripture you read are so important because we don't want to grieve anyone, but particularly not the blessed Holy Spirit that lives within us.
You know, this is a paraphrase of a mother quote from Mother Teresa, where she said, you know, we so often focus our love out there on the least of these out there, but love really starts with the one with whom you live. And it's so easy to kind of skip over them and give them our worst and give those we barely know our best. So say, I really hear your conviction, and I see and feel your conviction as I read this book. Say a word about holiness in our home. One, so we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but two, so we honor God with the way we love those closest to us.
It's just so important, Susie. It's maybe the most important thing. David said in Psalm 101, I will walk with integrity in my home. And the sad thing is that David didn't always do that. And we probably won't always do it either, but that was the desire of his heart. And it's what God desires for us, that who am I going to give to first? Am I going to give to the people outside my home? Because they'll appreciate me. They'll say, Linda, thanks for doing this. Oh, you made a meal for me. Oh, thank you for teaching this Bible study. Husbands and children don't always remember to thank us. And I think so, that's really why a lot of us love to go outside. But where God wants me to be holy is first in my home. He wants me to walk with integrity. He wants me to be aware of the words that come out of my mouth, because they can either build up or tear down. And he wants me to be aware of my spirit. Am I holding bitterness and anger in my heart? And I think, Susie, as this is just Mother's Day this weekend, I talk to so many women who have bitterness toward their mothers or toward their daughters or toward their husbands. And what an important word this is from God's word to us, that we're to put all of that off. It says, just cast that off and instead clothe yourself, put on kindness and tenderheartedness, and forgive one another as Christ forgave us. And the first place we do that is in our home.
That's just beautiful, Linda. Let's talk about this for a minute, this bitterness you're talking about, because it really is just prevalent in the church. And how does a person go about casting these things off? Because right away, when you challenge a person to do that, they're like, you don't know what they did. You don't know how often I deal with this. I'm going around this mountain again and again. Even so, Scripture says to cast it off. What are some practical steps a person could take to find freedom from the bitterness, the grudge, the fault-finding?
Susie, I ask a group of women to write down why they wanted to stay mad at their husbands. Okay, why do you want to? Can I just read you a couple of their comments? I think this is a key to how we cast it off. We have to first realize why we're holding on to it. One young woman said, staying mad is easier than forgiving. Anger justifies and comforts me after an offense. If I remain angry, then I have no room in my mind to see fault in myself. If I remain angry, my heart can be so full of blame, there's no room for conviction.
Wow.
Yikes.
Wow. That's profound, and I appreciate the honesty in those statements.
I do, too. Mm. I do, too. It's just, and another young woman says, you've hurt me so deeply, I want to hurt you, too. Mm. I do not feel safe with you. When I stay mad, I can just give up. It's never going to work or be different. It's hopeless. I think my anger gives me power over the hopelessness.
Yeah.
Isn't that just...
It really is, and we remove the God equation, though, when we think that we have a right to see them pay. And I'm speaking from experience, and I've shared this on the show before, but when we walked through our incredible marriage valley, my hubby was a workaholic and overworker and went way long not connected. And I got to the point where I literally could look at him, Linda, and not feel a thing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like him anymore at all. And I will be honest, during that angry time, I got more laundry done than ever in my whole life. Nobody had dirty underwear during
That's
my
right.
angry season. But the truth of the matter is, I feared God. And so the conviction was so deep in me where the Lord was telling me, he spoke to my heart during my prayer time, you've committed the greater offense. He's kind. He's overworked. He's doing too much. He's missing it. Yes. But you've allowed your love to grow cold, and love is the highest order of the day, and you will apologize to him. And I'll never forget, I sat on the floor just to put myself lower than him, and I just said, because I fear God, I'm doing this, and I'm saying this to you. You've hurt me. You've been gone. And I'd been communicating that left and right. But I said, I'm going to make a commitment to love you, to lay my anger down, to be vulnerable, give you the chance to hurt me again, because I love and fear the Lord. And I'm convinced, Linda, by my getting low, I gave the Holy Spirit room to get in and let the scales sort of come off of his eyes, because he literally came back and said, is this what my choices have been doing to you? And it was my just submitting to God that really helped me get out of the way so God could work on him. And that was the beginning of healing for us. And so I know that's costly, but somewhere along the line, the fear of God has to come in for us when we're holding grudges against our husband, don't you think?
It does. It's the fear of God and just... how important the Lord says forgiveness is. And he doesn't say any place in the scripture, if your husband really deserves forgiveness, please then give
right.
it to him. It never says if he deserves it. He just says, you forgive as I forgave you. Susie, let me share with you one thing that just knocked me over, and I know I must have seen it in the scriptures before, but there's a little tiny verse in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that literally says, forgiving kicks Satan out.
Wow.
And the Apostle Paul is exhorting the Corinthians to forgive quickly and continually, and he says the reason they need to do this is so that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. Mm-hmm. So that makes me mad.
Yeah.
That hanging on to my anger toward my husband, my father was an abusive alcoholic. I hated him. And the first thing God pointed out in my life when I gave my life to Christ was, Linda, you have to forgive your father. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to. He absolutely did not deserve forgiveness. He'd torn my family apart. He had deeply wounded me, but I kick Satan out when
go.
I forgive, and I give the Holy Spirit room to breathe in me, because it's like bitterness, a root of bitterness growing in us doesn't leave much room for any of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, it really chokes out the life of God in us and the potential of a thriving marriage. Well, if you've just tuned in, I'm really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friend Linda Dillo today about her very courageous book, What's It Like to Be Married to Me? And Other Dangerous Questions. We invite your calls. We've got 3 copies to give away today, or email if you've got a question or comment. We know this is a tough topic, but we're coming at it from having coffee with a friend, inviting you to just consider the conversation that God is the Redeemer, he's the Restorer. And Linda, wouldn't you say we so subtly as women shift our hope from God to our husbands without meaning to, but we do. And so then when they don't come through in ways we think they should, then we blame them. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Absolutely. And the moment we put our hope in a person, Satan has already got a foot in the door because people are always going to disappoint us. You and I, you, Susie, you're wonderful, but you're going to disappoint Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to disappoint Jody because I am just human. No matter how much I want to walk in the Spirit, I am human and I will disappoint him. And so forgiveness needs to be a way of life.
A way of life. That's so good. Well, I do want to open the phone lines up, 877-933-2484. We'd love to hear your questions, comments. Maybe we can even pray for you. We'd love to do that today as well. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, feel free to email me, susie@faithradionet.com. Linda, you say that most couples live by default and not by design. This is an extremely important point because we sort of settle into a series of reactions versus responding to God. So say what you mean there.
Susie, women today, wives are so busy that they're scattered, and men are too. But women live their lives trying to put out fires, not really thinking about what is the most important, where should I be spending my time. And as I talk with women, Susie, particularly wives, they say, you know, I've got goals in my work. I've got goals about being a mom. I even have goals about my house. But my husband, he's just kind of there to get the leftovers. I don't really concentrate on my marriage. I don't live it by design. And so what I've tried to do in this book, Susie, is to make women step back and be still, first to know that God is God, but secondly, to ask God, okay, what would it look like for me to live my marriage by design? And how can I write out who I want to become as a wife so that I have a goal before me? That's what it means to live by design.
So almost getting a vision for who you want to be and how you want to function in your home?
Absolutely.
Great.
I think that many women in 10 years are going to look back and say, have I grown as a wife? What have I learned? What have I given? When we're aiming at nothing, that's exactly what we're going to hit. And so having a design gives us a blueprint.
So give me some examples, Linda, of that for your own life, where you saw the potential of what you could be as you walk with the Lord and put these things before you. What were some of the things that would be on your list?
I put on my list that I want to grow in all it means to respect my husband and to show that respect to him. I asked him many years ago, I want you to give me your definition of the most exciting lover you can think of because that's who I want to become. That was on my list. I told the Lord that I wanted to grow with Jody as we grew older. In every season of life, I wanted God to work in me that I could be the wife that he needed just at that point. And I wanted to be there beside him as we walked through trials. Because I don't know about your life, Susie, but, you know, as my daughter said to me once, Mom, I think life is just one series of problems after another. I said, you're growing up. It is. She wrote me that right after she went to college, and I said, you're growing up. It is. But it's not the problems. It's the problem solver who enables us, the Lord Jesus, to walk through the problems with our eyes on him. And what I put in my marriage purpose statement was I wanted to walk with Jody Dillo holding his hand and pouring encouragement into him. One of the definitions of encouragement, of verbal encouragement, is coming alongside a person and putting your arm around him. And as you come to a hurdle, you just say, you can make it. You can do it. You can jump over this hurdle. We'll jump over it together. And I want to be that kind of wife that jumps those hurdles with my man.
You know, as I'm sitting here listening to you, and I appreciate you sharing, giving us an inside look at such private place of your marriage and your life, but listening to you list those things, The scripture that comes to my mind is, a woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised. You can sure see why a woman who fears God is so precious to God, because, you know, that goes against all the cultural standards, doesn't it, what you're saying?
It does. And the woman in Proverbs 31, that was what was said about her. Yes, all of these things of what an incredible wife she was, how her husband trusted in her always, and her children would rise up and call her blessed. But the whole beautiful poem is ended by saying that a woman who fears the Lord is to greatly be praised. And that was the root of who she was. And Susie, I know that's who both of us want to be. Mm. You know, I just can't be the wife that I want to be. I can't become an exciting lover, a woman who's going to walk through trials, someone who forgives easily and quickly. I just can't do that. It's only as I stand in fear before the Lord and I say, Holy Spirit, you work through me today. You love through me. You forgive through me. You minister to this man I love through me. That's the only way it really works.
But then it does. When you pray that prayer, you know, just this morning, I'm sitting on my deck having my prayer time, have my pit bull on my lap, my cup of coffee, my Bible and journal. I'm looking out at the trees, and I'm marveling at who God has made me to be. When I was a young woman, so insecure, so afraid, so selfish on so many levels because I was so insecure and so afraid, and not to say I've in any way arrived, but what the healing that he's done in my soul, that I can live in response to him rather than a reaction to my fears, is a miracle. Only God could do that. And I think once in a while, don't you think we need to pause and look how faithful he's been, how far we've come, so that we can really get a vision for where he wants to take us?
Absolutely. And that's just so exciting that you can say that, because what you're saying is, I'm not who I was 20 years ago or 10 years ago. I'm not where I want to be. Ooh, I wish I hadn't made that mistake yesterday.
Yeah.
But I am growing, and I am changing, and all of that growth is outflowing from our relationship with the Lord.
Mm, so beautiful. Well, we've got about 4 minutes to break, and so we might have to tackle a couple of these on the other side. But in the book, you write about these four steps you take to reset with the Lord when you've blown it. And I'd love to just go over these and have you comment on them. The first one is, I go to God alone, and I pour out my complaints. Talk about that.
Where do we usually go, Susie? We go to another person,
mm-hmm.
because maybe they'll tell us that our husband's really been a jerk. And God says first to go to God and pour out my complaints to him. And that's what David did. It was such a beautiful thing he did in Psalm 142 that, and I love that he was just so honest. I plead with you. I cry out. It's like he listed his complaints, and I often ask women, have you ever listed your complaints before God and just gotten on your knees and set them out and said, God, these are my complaints, but I don't want to stay there with the complaints. Will you take me to a different place?
Mm, so good. And we've talked about this as well before, but it bears repeating. Such a difference between going to a friend and bashing your husband, which the fruit of that is terrible. It just digs a deeper ditch for you. And going to a woman who fears God, whom you've given permission to call you up, to call you out. And so if you need to process it, you do so with someone who fears God. Say a quick word about that before we move on.
We go to God first, Susie.
Absolutely.
But mm-hmm. Of course. A counselor, a mature friend, I think, but as you said, there's just a real difference in going and saying, I need help. Would you pray for me? Would you point my eyes to God, because I want to do it the way he wants me to do it? That is so different than just having a husband bashing time.
Mm.
And so, yes, we can go to a friend. But I still believe that the way David did it is the best.
Absolutely. Go to God first. And that really, that time spent with him really instills in us a healthy love and fear for the Lord and an order in how we process our pain, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Mm, so good.
It makes the total difference.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. The second one, which we'll have to address after the break, is I make a secret choice to accept my husband. I'm going to actually give you just about 30 seconds, and then we're going to jump to it on the other side of the break. But do you want to say a word or two about making a secret choice to accept your husband?
I think the important choices we make in life are secret, Susie, because they're not made where people can see it. They're made often with tears before the Lord on our knees, and we're even saying, God, I don't really want to do this, but I see that you've asked me to, and so I'm going to make a secret choice before you. God, this is yours and my little secret that I want to grow to accept my husband. God, you've accepted me. I want you to show me how to accept him.
Oh, so good. Which shows you that it really is an act of your will, and he supplies the emotion in due time. But when we're so set on obeying him and we step out and obey him, he supplies what we need. It's so great. Talking to Linda Dillo today about her book, What's It Like to Be Married to Me? On the other side, we're going to pick up a couple of these other steps, but also we're going to talk about why sexual intimacy goes away so often in marriage. And you might, if you have children, you might want to get them busy doing something else, but we need to talk about it. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. It's his love for you. You know, freely we've received, so freely give. And this, at the end of the day, the highest order of the day is to love. To love. And so often we love those closest to us least by the way that we act and the way we hold grudges and refuse to forgive. And it's hard stuff, but we can sort it through, as Linda was saying, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Really glad you tuned in today. And I notice you're awful quiet today. I'd love to hear from you. What are you thinking so far about this conversation? Maybe you've got a question or comment. You've got three copies of Linda's book to give away. 877-93-FAITH. That is 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. Linda, before we move on to the issue of intimacy, which you've got some wonderful things to say about it, and it's a hard topic to talk about, but we need to, I want to finish these. So you make a secret choice to accept your husband. I really like that, an act of my will, because Christ has received us. The third one is, I move from change him, O Lord, to praying, change me, O Lord. Again, this takes humble, courageous faith. Say a word about that prayer.
Stormy O'Mardian said it first, Susie, and I love her honesty because she says her favorite three-word prayer was, change him, Lord. And she said she finally realized that God wanted her favorite three-word prayer to be changed to change me, Lord. And it is humbling. Like you said, it's just so much easier to point the finger at the other person because we can see his faults. So they're just blaring, and ours maybe aren't so clear to us. And what the Lord did for me, Susie, I finally asked myself, why do I make continual suggestions to Jody and ask him continual questions, which he labeled as sophisticated nagging. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least I was sophisticated, right?
Yeah, right.
And so, but why did I do that? And when I got before the Lord and asked him, I didn't like what he showed me. Mm-hmm. The first thing was pride. I really thought my way of living life was a lot better than my husband's, and I wanted to change him to live life like I did because then it would be easier for me. Mm-hmm. And the second thing was selfishness. And, you know, we don't like to see selfishness and pride in ourselves. But we need to look. And what I did, Susie, was I cut out a piece of paper, and in one column I wrote my husband's faults. That part was easy. But in the next column I wrote my wrong responses to those faults.
Wow.
It's something you were saying earlier. Sometimes our virtue also is a downfall. It can be something that, I think you were talking with someone there in the studio, that he was laid back, but then sometimes he didn't assert himself enough. And it's the flip side of the coin. And so I just asked God to show me how I was not responding as he would want me to. It was not pretty. It was really, really ugly. And that's really what you did, Susie. When you ask your husband's forgiveness, you ask the Lord to show you what your response was to him, and you ask forgiveness for that. I think the reason people are quiet today is that none of us want to go here.
It's so true, Linda, and I'm thinking as you're talking that if we raise the bar even a little bit more, if not a lot more, and say, it's not even so much about how I relate to my husband as how I relate to God, because how we relate to people directly impacts how we're relating to God. As I'm listening to you say pride and selfishness, what wife listening doesn't have those things present in her marriage at times? And yet Scripture says he opposes the proud. He distances himself from the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so there's something that we do where we interrupt fellowship with not only our husband, with God, by our selfish choices and our, you know what I'm saying?
No, I think we absolutely do. I know I do. And I really ask God to change that, because that's not who I want to be.
Mm. And yet I'm thinking, as we humble ourselves, Lord, change me. That's really the catalyst often to the husband's change. When we humble ourselves and say, do a miracle in me, and we just focus on what God is doing in us, that often ripples out into the husband being open to the Lord too, wouldn't you say?
I think absolutely. And I think of a woman who threw this book in the trash. And the title is kind of scary. What's it like to be married to me? And she said, I can't write anything I want to be as a wife because I don't like this man at all anymore. She says, yeah, God tells me I'm supposed to love him, but I don't like him. And I said, I challenged her to write who she would be for the next 3 months. And Susie, she wrote a list of the most beautiful I wills I have ever heard. But it was all, I will forgive him every day. I will respect him. I will, because she didn't want to. It was all down in her will saying these things. But do you know what? Her husband changed because she began loving him and respecting him. And she was in absolute amazement because she didn't like the guy. And guess what? She liked him again.
It's amazing. I remember someone asked me one time, guys and gals are so different. Why did God design marriage this way? You know, he wired us so different. And I said, I think it's because it takes love for it to work. You know what I mean?
Don't you wonder sometimes how God changes people who aren't married and don't have children?
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's what God uses to chisel us and make us more like him, which is what we want to be, but we don't want it to be painful.
Yeah. Well, we've got a caller. She doesn't want to be on the air, but she asked the question. We're told that I'm sorry, it's hard for me to pull this up because it's the scrolling. We're told that we're required to and called to forgive others even when they don't ask for it. But in the Bible, we often see a model of people seeking God's forgiveness, and then he forgives them. Have we gotten it wrong? Is that cheap forgiveness? I don't 100% understand the question. Does it make sense to you?
We do see sometimes, Susie, that someone asks for forgiveness in the Scripture, and they're given forgiveness when they ask. But I think of Jesus on the cross.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died.
But he looked down from the cross and just said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Nobody asked for any forgiveness.
That's good.
And we're told in Scripture not to let a root of bitterness grow within us, because it's like poison. And I think that is another way of saying you need to forgive, not only because God asked you to, or because that releases the other person to listen to God and not to point a finger at you, but it also releases you to be open to God and to have him work in your life.
Mm, and that's where the miracle happens. Well, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484, 1-877-933-2484. Feel free to call anonymously. Otherwise, email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. Susie@faithradionet.com. We've got a gal emailing. She says, I'm catching the tail end of the show, but it's so applicable to my current situation with my husband. I've been facing these issues being discussed, and Satan is heavily attacking our marriage and me. I know I cannot change my husband. But when I married him almost 7 years ago, I thought I could. We're currently in financial disagreement. I'm the saver, he's the spender, and it's taking a toll on me. Thank you for the broadcast today. It's so beneficial to my situation. Bless you, friend. She's in 7 years, and so often it's around that time that things get tough, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Susie, let's just pray for her.
I'd love to do that. Her name's Janelle. Go ahead, Linda.
Janelle, I thank you for being honest, and I just want to lift you before the Lord. God, you see Janelle right now. I thank you that she is being an honest woman, that she is being honest before you and saying, this is what I need to hear, but this is hard for me. Holy Spirit, would you speak specifically to Janelle and show her exactly what love looks like for her husband today? Would you show her what forgiveness looks like for her husband today? Would you show her what respect looks like? I thank you that you are such a personal God and that you will personally apply the word of God to this precious woman. And I thank you in your mighty name.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thanks, Janelle, for your email. Susie@faithradionet.com if you'd rather email that way. Let's talk about, you know, one of the questions in your book, Wow, So Courageous, What's It Like to Make Love to Me? And, wow.
How many women do you think want to ask that one?
I think everybody's covering their ears and going, la, 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 la. Don't want to talk about this.
They just turned the radio down.
Yes. But we got to talk about this. And we don't even have enough time. I think I want to devote a whole show to this chapter, Linda, because there's so many dynamics. One out of three women are sexual abuse victims. That's a whole nother, you know, ball of wax. But let's just start with general. In general, many, if not most women, once they get married and get into married life, sexual intimacy with husband becomes more of a burden, a have to, an ought to, a should do. What happens and why does that happen?
Oh, boy, there's lots of reasons, Susie. One is that before marriage, if they were involved sexually at all, the illicit is exciting, but everyday life together isn't as exciting. Hopefully they weren't involved sexually, but so many were, and some of that guilt comes into marriage. I guess I believe, Susie, the main reason is that wives, husbands, do not know what God has said in the Word about sexual intimacy in marriage, and they don't understand the freedom and the abandonment and the joy and the fun that God just puts his stamp of approval on and says, go for it.
Mm. You know, I'm thinking, as just traveling around talking to women, I know you've talked to probably far more because you've researched the issue, but so often it's women responding to men where the men are like, I'm not nurturing you because you're not satisfying me. And they're like, I'm not going to satisfy you because you're not nurturing me. And they get it caught in the ping pong of response where both have their guard up and they're both. And what women have said to me is, I feel like I'm being used. What do you say to a woman who says, he's not at all attentive to my needs? I feel like I'm just being used and I feel cheap, you know, about it. What do you say to her?
I wish my friend Dr. Julie Slattery was here with me so she could get this straight, but I'm going to try to say one thing that I've learned from her. There is a hormone in our bodies, oxytocin, which is called the bonding hormone, and we women just have it flowing through our bodies all the time. It's what makes us think our little red wrinkled baby is beautiful. It's what lets us connect with a friend. It's what makes us want deep emotional connection with our husbands. But, Susie, did you know that men do not have this bonding hormone flowing through their bodies?
No, like I did not.
They do not. God releases that hormone in a man's body at one time. Can you guess what that one time is? It is at the moment of orgasm. Mm. He is flooded with this emotional closeness toward his wife. He is overwhelmed with his love for her. And
I never knew that.
But it explains so much.
It sure does.
It explains why intimacy, the physical intimacy, is so important to a husband, because that's how he feels emotionally close to his wife. But we women, we feel close if we talk and if we connect. And our husband wants to quit talking. He'll talk
because
later.
He wants to connect.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. But I feel some of it is that we need to understand each other better. I had a woman say to me, God just messed up when he created men because of the way they are ignited through their eye gate. And I said, well, who was it that created them that they would find a woman and her the way her body curved and her soft hair, everything about her appealing through his eyes? Who created him like that? It was God. And yet, because of how Satan has so brought pornography to be such an evil in our world today, women hate it that their husbands are aroused through their eye gate, and yet that's God's design. Mm.
And Satan has a counterfeit for every divine design, doesn't he?
He does. Mm. And yet God knew what he was doing, and God wants me as a wife to understand how he made my husband. And sure, we're to say, honey, I want to spend time being emotionally close, but what I find, Susie, is if men don't understand the wife's need for that, the wife just retreats and isn't available to her husband in the area he wants her to be interested in. So maybe as a wife, I should say, honey, tonight I'm taking you out on a date, and go out to a quiet restaurant and just talk and create an environment away from kids and ringing phones, unless you have it in your pocket, and where you can connect the way I want to connect as a wife. I know we've gone up in the mountains that I'm looking at out my window right now, and I've said, come on, honey, we're going for a picnic. And we've just connected so deeply, but I've taken the initiative.
Mm. Yep, I've done that too, and it's amazing what that does for the relationship, you know?
It really does.
That's wonderful. I'm talking to Linda Dillo today. What's It Like to Be Married to Me and Other Dangerous Questions is her book. We'll probably take calls for another 5-6 minutes. So if you want to call again, feel free to be anonymous if you need to. 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, Susie@faithradionet.com. You can email me and let me know if you email me that if you don't want your name read on the air. Happy to keep you anonymous as well. Susie@faithradionet.com. So we're going to talk about the three intimacy robbers. These are extremely important. One of them is the enemy. Talk about how he robs us of our intimate relationship with our husbands.
Susie, I feel like the enemy has deceived men and women, but he's deceived the church. And what I sense in the spirit in Christianity today is that this message goes through to people, and the message is from Satan. And it's this: when you come to Christ, he will clean up different areas of your life, but there's one area beyond his redemptive healing power, and that's your sexuality. So just don't even go there. If you've been wounded by others, if you are guilt-ridden because of all of the abortions you've had or the horrific things you've done, you can never feel clean again. You can never be whole sexually, and that is a lie from the pit.
Absolutely.
Because God is the Redeemer, and He is the Healer, and I have seen Him heal women who suffered the most horrific abuse.
You know, one of the stories, sorry to jump in, I thought you were finished there, but I've got to say, one of the stories in your book gripped me completely. This beautiful, precious woman who, as a child, her mom put her in child porn, you know, films. And so here she marries this Christian guy, but she says, you know, the sex part is going to be out because basically I'm damaged goods. And he was patient with her, and I think she got a hold of your book, Intimate Issues, and God did this healing work, and God redeemed this area of her life. You have story after story like that, but that one just gripped me. But you, as you say, there's no pit so deep that His love and redemptive power isn't deeper still, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, but that's what Satan has stolen, and he's deceived women into thinking, I can't be different. Mm. I am damaged goods. And, I mean, I wish that woman could come on the air that you just talked about. I mean, her story is so beautiful. She just cracked me up. She said, I started reading your book, Intimate Issues, and the first chapter was, what does God think about sex? And she said, my response was, why would God think about that? You know, why would he think about it?
God thinks about it?
I mean, why would he think about it? That's bizarre.
Mm.
And what overwhelmed me about that woman, Susie, was she wrote down every verse that was mentioned in the chapter, and she said, God, this can't be true. It can't be true that you think this is beautiful and you want us to enjoy it and have pleasure and fun together. She said, God, it can't be true. So she read it all a second time, and she said, it is true. What have I done?
Mm.
And so this woman was so courageous. She farmed out her three children and brought, she was a military wife, and she said, we lived in small quarters, so I brought the mattress off the bed and put it on the floor in the living room and had candles all over and soft music. And I told my husband when he came home that we were going to celebrate our wedding night again. Mm. And this time we were going to do it right. And this area of our marriage was going to be what God wanted.
And you said in that story, her husband walked into a dream he never thought possible.
And
it just blessed me beyond words. And you know, I'm living proof of that too. He redeems those places, and it's marvelous to see. We're running out of time. I want you to know all the calls are coming in now, and we're not going to be able to take them.
Of course.
Yeah. But media, you called media a fantasy machine, and the third one is the church. And I want to be able to touch on both of these before we finish today. So media, there's some obvious ways, pornography, but even, you know, everything on TV, basically. But say another word about how media really robs us of our own divine intimacy that God planned for us in marriage.
Well, we just have to realize that the media lies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantasy machine. It isn't reality, because it gives the picture of a husband and wife around a dinner table and their dirty dishes and screaming children. But what comes forth is, if the husband gives one passionate look toward his wife, she forgets the dirty dishes and the screaming children.
As if.
Wrong. It's a lie.
Yeah.
So it's just, we don't turn our emotions on and off the way the movies say we do.
Mm.
And so it can be entertaining, but it's just not the truth.
And you think of what that does, because in those, you know, settings, the man gets what he wants right away and the woman goes willingly, where in reality, men have to be patient. Women are wounded. Women need to be, you know, cared for. And so you can see where it does such a disservice to the actual marriage, where he wants a quick fix then, and pornography is an easy go, isn't it?
Mm. It is. And that's just really, Satan just gets in everywhere, and I just think he is laughing and hee-hawing because Christian women are just pulling away from the beautiful intimacy that God gave them in their marriage. And I understand the reasons, but it is not what God has, and He's the Redeemer, and He can make it different.
So good. And the third one is the church. I was so surprised to read some of the comments in your book, Martin Luther and others, who were really saying, you know, no matter how you slice it, sex is sin, even in marriage, so you just better, you know, get on with it and get over it. And they were just misguided, but you can sure see where that would quench the fire in your marriage if you think it's not spiritual to make love with your spouse. So say a word about that.
Well, I have to tell you, my favorite was by a theologian, and he said, the Holy Spirit leaves the room when a married couple has sex, even if they do it without passion. Okay, first of all, how do you do it without passion? But, you know, my Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit came to live within me when I received Christ as my Savior.
That's right.
And it says no place that he leaves for any reason. And so he doesn't leave when a couple experiences intimacy. And the sad thing, Susie, is we don't know these things that have been said down through the centuries, but the attitude has filtered down. And mothers often are just silent with their daughters. And I just speak to you, mothers, please ask God to give you his perspective about sexuality so you can pass it on to your daughters.
Hmm. Boy, this has been so powerful. In fact, I would love to invite you and Julie back together to really, we need to spend a whole show.
Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be a hoot. And I think we've got to talk about this because it's a broken area for so many. And I think if healing comes there, you're kind of like closing the ranks in marriages and really helping them be fortified against attack. So this is such good stuff, Linda. You are an absolute treasure.
Oh, well, it's just a joy to be with you. And we have a common heart, and it's just fun to talk back and forth. And can we just pray for all of the people that have been listening today, Susie?
Well, that's how we love to end. And so you jumped me. You got me. You're one step ahead, babe. Please do. Please pray for our friends listening today.
Oh, my God, you are such a personal God. You're so powerful, yet you're so personal. And I thank you that you know each man and each woman who's been listening to this today. You know their joys, their sorrows. You know if they need to forgive someone. You know a wife who has not been living her marriage by design, but who wants to. You know couples who Satan has gotten a foothold in their marriages, and intimacy isn't even a part of their marriages. God, would you speak to each one? Holy Spirit, take the word of God by your power and pierce it into the heart of every person listening. Let them know it is your personal truth for them today. And give them the courage to know that you can empower them to fall on their knees and say, I want to change. God, change me and make me who you want me to be today. God, I thank you that you will speak personally.
Yes.
You can speak through airways, and we thank you that you've been doing that today. We praise you. We worship you. We bow before you, Holy King. Amen.
Amen. Linda Dillo, bless you, and thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a joy.
As always. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website in just a couple of minutes at faithradionet.com. Here's a challenge for you going to church this weekend. I'm challenging you to give. So few Christians are sowing into their local church. Give. Even if you start with $5, $10, start tithing and see what happens, okay? Tune in tomorrow for the Saturday edition, talking to Ann Graham Lotz about Jesus' safe and soon return. Guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great weekend.